today is found in the 6th and 7th chapters of the book of Genesis concerning Noah and the ark. And when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, these men, they saw the children of men having daughters, and they saw that these daughters were fair, and they took unto themselves wives of those that they chose. This was a blessing that God had given unto the old world. He had spoken unto Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And they began to multiply upon the earth. Mankind became numerous. But this blessing was turned into a curse, because these men, they are called the sons of God, when they seen the daughters of men having children, and they saw their daughters growing up, and they were fair and they were beautiful, they chose them wives of whom that they desired. This was the first reason why that the world began to degenerate. This going into daughters of men. It says the sons of God. By the sons of God, we must understand those that made a profession of religion. They probably were of the descendants of Seth, and they intermarried with the Canaanites, the accursed Cain, who had slain his brother Abel. These were without any religion. They were profane. They cared not about God or about anything. And when the sons of God entered into them and had children by them, why, they became just like their parents. They turned away from God, and they became very corrupt, very evil. This is what took place at the beginning in the world. The world then at that time, it was so far from God already that there were very few that feared him and that worshiped him. It was God that spoke unto Noah at this time and used Noah as an instrument in his hands to proclaim unto the people that they should return back to God. There were at this time, as the scripture says, giants upon the earth. And when these giants, the sons of God, entered into the daughters of men and had children by them, why, they became likewise great men, enormous men, great in stature and in strength, and they are called men of renown. These people then not only were great in stature and strong, but they likewise were great in sin and strong in sin. They took the daughters, they didn't even marry them. They had sexual intercourse with them, and they had children by them. They were so powerful that nobody could withhold them and withstand them. This is the way these men acted at this time. And by their sinning in this respect, the world became filled with violence. It became corrupt. Oh, what an awful sight this must have been to this God in heaven above, who had created these people and brought them forth. He had created them good and upright, and now they departed from God. They all became rebellious. They did not listen to the warnings and the admonitions that were given to them, and they went on in their sins. They not only carelessly sinned, but they purposely sinned. They stood up against God. They were evil creatures. And God, looking down from heaven upon them, the Bible says he saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that this what was coming out of them was coming out of their heart, which was evil continually. This fountain of sin that God seen flowing upon the earth, likewise, was a reason why that God became offended with his creatures that he had made. And this going on in sin as they were also God saw it came from out of their heart. Their heart was evil continually. Oh, my dear hearers, what a time it must have been in the old world before God punished it and destroyed it. What took place in the old world, as I look at it, is taking place at the same time in this world in which we live. God seen the stream, the flood of sin that was going on in this world. This God, who is the judge, and before whom they had to answer for their sins, is still the same God. He sees the flood of sin and iniquities that is going on in the times in which we live. Oh, we are living in an evil time, a time in which people are becoming careless, indifferent, and going on in their sins, irrespective of the warnings and admonitions brought unto them. Oh, this, what is going on in our country, oh, what an awful thing that God yet still bears with it, that he hasn't brought his judgments down upon it, that he has not yet become grieved in his very heart concerning it. Oh, God saw this stream of sin, and so of you and I, who are rational creatures, who have a reasonable mind, if we look through the world and the times in which we are living in, we must say, what a stream of iniquity is going on in America. Oh, when you consider the murders, the rapes, the adultery, the thefts, the things that are going on in this country, God sees this, and God hates sin and must punish sin. Oh, you and I, we see it, we hear of it, we read of it, we know that this is going on. And there are many even that are governing us and ruling us who are indifferent to this. They are just like it. Many, they are caught in their acts. They are brought before judges. And the judges, they give them a sentence which is so lenient. By good behavior, they are let out in a soon time to go ahead and do some more sin, maybe more than what they had done before. But these things are true. You'll have to agree that this is going on in our country. How terrible then is the stream of sin which is running through this country in which we live. And that God yet bears with us should be a wonder to us. Oh, may we, as creatures who have been created by him, be given to return back to God, and to be obedient unto God and live to his honor and to his glory. God looked down upon mankind, and it repented him that he had made man. He said, I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth, and I will cut off everything that lives and that breathes upon the earth. All this then God had made his mind up to do. It repented God, and it grieved him at his very heart. This language that we read in Scripture about God repenting and being grieved is language that God has given the Spirit of God to write down to us, so that we may understand what the meaning of God is in this. As you and I, when we have children, we bring our language to the minds of our children so that they can comprehend what we mean. So God has brought down by his Spirit this language so that we may comprehend what he means with this. God can never repent of anything that he has done. He never can be sorry that he has done something, or that he may say, I'm sorry that I did this. Never. God is unchangeable. God is the same. And God will do what he has dedicated and designated to do, even throughout the world, as long as it stands. But when God repents in this respect, it's not a change of his will, but it's a change of his way, a change of his work. To give you an example, some of you have children. I hope they may be obedient children. But you love your children, and you do everything you can for your children. But now, you may, in the course of the child's life, find that your child is a disobedient child. He's a rebellious child. And you cannot bring him back on the right way. He will not listen. And now, you have money, you have an inheritance, but instead of giving him part of this inheritance, you cut him off because of his disobedience, because of his rebellion, because of his transgression. And probably in your heart you say, I wish that God had wrote me childless rather than have a child like that. Now this is the way God feels towards the children that he has created and that lives upon this earth. He created this great world. He placed man upon it. And he made man in his own image and in his own likeness. And man, by his rebellion, by his disobedience, has turned away from God. And it grieves God that this is taking place. And God decided that he would destroy man because man goes on in his disobedience to him. Oh, my dear hearers, God then decided and counseled to destroy man and everything that lived upon the face of the earth. Oh, what an awful judgment God was going to bring down upon this world. He couldn't bear any longer with it because he saw that the heart of man was desperately evil, continually, without any let-up. There was no turning whatsoever of any creature whatsoever from wickedness. All the warnings, all the admonitions had no effect upon such. They went on in their sins. This is what brought God to this point, that he would destroy the old world. But we read that God gave unto Noah grace, and Noah found grace in the sight of God, in the eyes of God, it says. Noah, for this man was a sinner just like you and I. You must not think that because of his righteousness, because of he was better than the other people, because he lived a different life, that's why God picked him out. No, my dear. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was then only one person in the world who found grace in the eyes of the Lord at that time. How many hundreds and thousands of people were living at that time, I do not know. But it shows that God is a sovereign God in his dispossession and is putting away the grace that he has into the hearts of sinners. Oh, Noah, he was called a man that walked with God, a man that was righteous and that was just in his generation. So this was not of Noah. Noah, being a righteous man, was righteous by the faith that he had in the promised seed, Jesus Christ. Noah was justified by faith in the sight of God and through Christ Jesus. We read that in Hebrews 11, verse 7. Noah then, by the grace that God put into his heart, was entirely different than the rest of the world. He lived an entirely different life because he had another life in him. And this life revealed itself in his life outwardly. He did not do as other sinners did. he was a man then that walked with God as Enoch had walked before him. For this walking with God is to have God continually on your mind, to be continually under the impression that he sees you, that he knows you, that he knows your very thoughts, that he knows your heart, that you are conscious of this every moment, actually, of your life. Oh, what a close life then this man Noah had with God. Have any of you experienced something of this closeness of God in your life? Have you ever received grace in your soul? For then you have become conscious of the greatness, the majesty of this great and divine being of whom I am attempting to speak. Oh, he surrounds us at all times, and we are very conscious of it, and we dare not sin against this good God who has put this grace into our souls. For by receiving this grace in our souls, we are very responsible to God who has chosen us and separated us from the rest of mankind. This man Noah was separated by God himself from all the world at that time. What an example he was. The only one. Oh, God withheld the grace of repentance from the rest of mankind. They went on in their sins. And by going on in their sins, they made themselves ripe for eternal destruction. They made themselves ripe before God that he would send them to that awful place of perdition. These people then, they went on in their sins, and God raised up this man Noah, and he made him, as the Bible says, a preacher of righteousness. God said that his spirit would not strive with man because he was flesh. By that we may understand that the Spirit of God, the common operations of the Spirit, had been very active in these sinners that were upon the earth. It had convicted them. It had admonished them. Their conscience went open by the Spirit striving with them. But they went over the top of the strivings of the Spirit. They went on because they were flesh. They were corrupt. They were incurable. Oh, how awful it is when the Spirit of God withdraws itself. When this happens, then no religion is left anymore. Then this world would become such a terrible place to live in. It became awful. Violence was terrific in the world. At this time, there were so many awful things taking place by these sinners that were living in this world. They cared not about what was going to come upon them. They went on in their sins. And God withdrew his spirit from them. And when this is done, then regardless of it may be one person, or it may be a family, or it may be a nation, they are left to themselves, and they are hastening to their ruin, to their destruction. These people then were in an awful state and condition in the sight of God with whom they had to do. And now God spake unto Noah and said unto him that he had found that all flesh had corrupted its ways before him, and that he was going to destroy the world and everything that breathes upon it. But thou hast found grace in my sight. What a mercy, my hearers, to find grace in the sight of God. Think of it. How earnest every one of us should be. How we should labor to find grace in the sight of God. There was only one that found grace of God, and that was Noah. All the rest of the people they would be destroyed. That teaches us there are so very few that find grace in the sight of God. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, that you and I may have no rest until we may be assured that whether we are absent from the body or present in the body, that we may be accepted of him, to be found a monument of his sovereign grace in this world in which we live. Grace is so sweet, my heavenly. Grace is so free. And God is a gracious God in Christ Jesus. And he has no delight in our destruction. It was not God that was going to destroy this people because he hated them. No, these people had turned from God. Their ways had been so corrupt that God had to do something, or otherwise it would have been something against his government. There was no government anymore in the world at that time. And now Noah, he was raised up by God to speak to these people. It says here that God would let man live 120 years. It seems that God cut the lifetime down of people to 120 years. Before this, you read of 900 years, 800 years. So this is the way that people lived before this. But the commentary, and likewise, probably this translated book that we gave our children, has in the story that it pleased God to preach to the people for 120 years by Noah, to turn them to repent from their wickedness. God is a long-suffering God. But God doesn't continue to be so. There's an end to his long-suffering, especially when sin becomes so strong and so powerful. So here, the end of God's long-suffering came towards this world of people. And Noah, he had to build an ark. And while he was building this ark, he was preaching to the people. God came to him and told him and said unto him, Noah, I'm going to destroy everything that lives upon the earth. Now the secret of the Lord is amongst them that fear him. And when Noah began to proclaim to the people that if they went on in their sins and didn't repent, that they would perish, and that God was going to bring a deluge of water upon the earth, they laughed at him. They mocked at him. My dear hearers, he found grace in the sight of God, but he didn't find grace in the sight of man. They sure hated him. They sure ridiculed him. They despised him because of his life, because of his testimony, because of his warnings and admonitions to the people. And if you have grace, my dear hearers, you will find the same thing taking place in your life. In love, you will warn, you will speak and admonish, but they will not receive your warnings. They will likewise shut their ears and turn from you and hate you and talk about you. But oh, what a mercy that this did not disturb Noah. He found God with him. God loved him, and he loved God. And therefore, Noah is commanded by God to build an ark of gopher wood, it says. The commentary says they could not find out what kind of wood this was. They think it was the cypress tree, which was used at that time to make ships, vessels. And this wood is very durable and very lasting. He was told then to build an ark. God was the architect of it. God told him how long it had to be, how wide it had to be, and how high it had to be, and what he should make in the ark. He had his directions from above. This tremendous vessel that Noah was commanded to build was a flat bottom bulk of a ship. According to the dimensions, if we take a cubit to be 21 inches, this ark was 470 some feet long, and it was 87 feet wide, and it was about 52 feet high. According to the commentary at that time, there was plenty of room in this spacious vessel that he was commanded to build for all the animals and everything that he had to put in there. There weren't many people in there, just him and his wife and his three sons and their wives. There were only 8 people in this vessel. So there was plenty of room for the people that were in it, and plenty of room for the animals and the food that he was to gather and store in this vessel. The wonderful thing of it is that God told him that he should take a male and a female of every species of animals and put them into this ark. One would say, well, how could he go out and get all these kind of animals? He didn't have to do that. God brought the animals to him. And he was to take male and female and put them into this ark. And he was to gather food for himself and for the maintenance of these animals. This is what he was told to do. This likewise has a spiritual meaning, this ark. This ark was to be a vessel wherein he and his family were to be saved from the rest of the world. And of course, building this, it probably did take a length of time to build such a monstrous vessel. How long? Maybe it did take 120 years, as some of these men report. And all this while, he must have had men helping him build this ship. And of course, much mockery and much ridicule probably went on while he was building it. But he built this by faith. He built this because God had told him to do so. It wasn't of his own doings, which probably they thought it was. But he was to be saved in and through this ark. But this ark is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of this ark God has revealed in his precious word. And that anyone found in Christ Jesus will not perish with the world, but will receive everlasting life. Oh, my dear hearers, hearing of a way of escape, hearing of a means whereby you may be saved from the terrible judgment that is to come upon us because of our sin, how necessary and how needful it is for you and I to flee to Jesus Christ, who is a mighty Savior, who is able to save, who is willing to save, who never turneth any away that cometh unto him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt your need of him? It says here in this chapter that God looked down upon man and saw the wickedness that was going on in the world, and that out of the heart proceeded this wickedness, that it was wicked continually and evil continually. Let me ask you, have you ever found your heart to be so? Has God ever disclosed to you what sort of a heart you have? That there is nothing good in it, that nothing good comes from it, that it is totally corrupt, that it is evil? Oh, and you have taken particular notice that it all comes from inside by you. Have you ever seen that, my hearers? Has it ever led you upon your knees in secret to pray to God that he would give you a new heart? That he would create in you a clean heart? That he would give you a heart that loved him and that would be obedient unto him? All this heart of you and I is desperately wicked, more than anything. And out of this heart flows all sorts of evil, continually. Some of you say, I don't believe that. I think my heart is pretty good. Because God hasn't discovered to you yet your heart. Oh, when God gives you to see yourself in the light that he sees himself in, there isn't a worse creature in the world than you. And you will not put a finger upon anybody else, but you have learned to know yourself as such a sinner in the sight of God. And you will agree with the judgment that God has spoken out against sin, that he will damn every person that is found outside of Christ, and you become one that deserves to be damned, third deserves to be punished by God himself. All may you be given to accept of the punishment of your iniquity in this life and fall down before him, before you have to suffer the punishment of your iniquities to all eternity in that awful place where the fire will never be quenched and where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now is yet the acceptable time. Now yet the gospel is proclaimed to you. Now Jesus is set before you as a typical ark. Oh, flee ye to him before it will be forever too late. You may say, well, how can I flee to him if he doesn't give me the grace to do so? Oh, my dear hearers, God comes to us with things that we cannot do. And when we find that we cannot do that, it should bring us on our knees and pray to God that he will give us to do what he commands us to do. That we have no power to do this. We have no will to do this. We have no heart to do this. But he has everything in his hands, and he can incline our hearts to do this. All may you seek him yet, while he is yet to be found, my hearers. For we know not. Even tomorrow it may be forever too late. Noah then became a preacher of righteousness. Noah was the one person only in the world that had found grace in the sight of God. I can't get over this, my hearers. Because it was not of Noah, because it was of God himself. And that God in his sovereignty had made choice of this man, and that this man could not perish with the rest of the world. And if he has made choice of you, he put his grace in your soul, you can never perish either, never. He never forsakes the works of his hands. Who he loves unto the end. If he has given his dear son Jesus for your sins, you'll never have to pay the penalty for them. Jesus paid for them. They're wiped out in the score of God. Oh, what a mercy if you may be given to believe this for your own heart and soul. Noah had this. He was justified. He was a just man. He walked with God. What a precious life, my hearers. Oh, knowing something of what it is to walk with God, you would like to take everybody along with you and give them to walk with him too and love him and fear him and serve him. For he's such a good God, my hearers. And you find just the opposite. Noah couldn't find anybody that wanted to listen to him. No matter what he said, they went on in their sins, and this is the way it is. Oh, I hope that God may impress you in your very heart with the necessity of being found in Jesus Christ. This ark that I am trying to set before you, who receiveth sinners and turneth none away that cometh unto him. Oh, come, my dear hearers, come to this precious Christ. And may you find that he will receive you, that he will not turn you down. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy bless the feeble explanation this afternoon to your immortal soul for his name's sake. That's all for today.